Let's join the worship center at Life Church, where the service is already in progress.
We got to mind our mind and think about what we're thinking about and make sure that we're thinking about what the Word of God says for us to think about instead of what we want to think about or the first thought that flies into our mind, because eventually what we think about is going to be what we do, and then we'll have the consequences of our actions. You know, we are free to do whatever we want to do. Paul said, you know, I can do stuff, but it's not a good idea all the time. You know, I can decide that I want to get on a motorcycle and go 100 miles an hour down the road. Now, I don't think I'd ever decide that, but I could decide that. But that doesn't mean it's expedient for me to do so. That doesn't mean it's a good idea. And a lot of times we get these thoughts in our mind that just come in, but they're not always a good idea to continue thinking on them. And so this morning we're going to continue in our Minding the Mind series. And we're going to talk about how God doesn't want us to be playing a victim or having a victim mentality. And what we're talking about when we talk about victim mentality is blaming everybody else for why we do what we do. Have you ever met somebody that took responsibility for nothing? I mean, they would not, everything was always someone else's fault. And if we're real honest, there are many times where we've made decisions and we've probably just blamed the consequences on other people. But God doesn't want us to be a person that constantly tries to shift blame somewhere else. Well, if they wouldn't have done this, and everybody's always picking on me, and nobody likes me, and everybody hates me, and if they would just be nice to me, then I could be nice back to them. And if they wouldn't have hurt me 50 years ago when I was a young kid, then I wouldn't be so screwed up today. It's always someone else's fault. Now, I think that there's a time and place for biblical counseling. And I think that it's biblical that we receive counseling for things that we go through, as long as we're getting biblical counseling from a godly perspective. But in our culture today, it's really easy, and we're taught from a young age to shift blame. It's because of something that happened when you were two that you are just a mean old mess right now. If they just would have given you that puppy dog for your third birthday, then everything would have been fine from there on out. We must quit blaming others for our things that we choose to do, our actions. And we must take responsibility for our own decisions and quit shifting blame onto other people. As long as we blame other people, we will never grow. If we blame others for everything we do, we will never grow. Why? Because we aren't taking responsibility. That's why our school is designed the way that it is. And that's why we shift the responsibility of learning onto our students, and we let them work individually so they can learn to be responsible for their learning, so they don't have somebody spoon-feeding them all of their life, all of the information that they ever need to know, because they need to grow up to be free thinkers, to think on things of the Word of God and to figure out things for themselves. And it's true in our own life. We don't need to be so codependent on other people and shift blame onto them and think that we have to have everyone acting just right for us to act just right. Because let me tell you, not everybody is going to act just right all the time around you. There's always going to be a mess or two in the bunch. And God wants us to take responsibility for our actions and to quit shifting blame to other people and quit playing the victim in our mind that it's always someone else's fault for why I don't have what I want. God doesn't want us to live like that. Why? Because we'll never grow. We'll never grow beyond the actions of others. And I promise you, you're not always going to get everyone to line up with how you want them to do it. It's before, like we talked about in the daycare, trying to get all those 2 and 3 and 4 year olds in a straight line going down the hallway singing the same song at the same time. It is a hot mess and it doesn't always happen right. And when we try to get people to act just right around us so we can have a right response, it's not always going to happen. God calls us to have a right response and a right thinking towards others, whether they're kind to us or mean to us, whether they're generous to us or stingy to us, whether they do good to us or do bad to us, whether they gossip about us or say good things about us. God has called us to have a right response, whether they hit us or whether they don't hit us, whether they throw all their work on us and try to get us to do all the things for them or they don't. No matter what other people do, God has called us to have a right response of love towards others and doing the will of God and what the Bible says. In the getting out of a victim mentality, we cannot make bad choices and blame it on other people. James 1:14, but every person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed and baited by his own evil desire, lust, and passions. So we're all tempted to go away from God, to draw away from God. We just have to not take the bait. It says that we're enticed and baited to draw away from God, to go after our own passions, our own pursuits, and we're tempted to do wrong, and we're tempted to pull away from God. We don't have to take the bait. Those of you who like to fish, you know, you get that big juicy worm on there. Or that big old lure that's all sparkly and, you know, wiggles its tail in the water. I don't know. Or like Isaiah was telling me, you get some chum, whatever that is. He was talking about wanting to go fishing, but he didn't have any chum. And I'm like, what are you doing with that? So you get your bait. And you make it look the best that it can. And then you stick it out on the pole and you dance it up and down in the water. You know, there's a whole art to fishing. You got to make it look just right so it wiggles and the fish think it's still alive. And you want to get the one that does the little dance just right so the fish bites it. Well, there are people that aren't of the devil, but the devil uses to be like the little bait dancing around. Like, are you going to get mad at me? Are you going to go off at me? Are you going to say this? Are you going to blame me? Are you going to do this? Because I'm over here just doing this thing, irritating you and messing with you and trying to get you off track and trying to get you distracted. But it's not the person's fault if we take the bait. It's not the person's fault. Because our battle isn't with people. There's a spiritual realm of fighting that's going on between our will, our emotions, our mind, the devil, and what God wants us to do. And every day, there's going to be all kinds of tasty bait wiggling around us, ready for us to just strike and blame and put off on them and, well, go off because if you wouldn't have done this, then that's why I'm so messed up. It's all your fault. No, it's not the person's fault. It's not their fault why we choose to make our own decisions. We choose to do what we want to do because we want to do it. Let's take a look at it this way. Well, I want to really get in my Word and I want to start studying and I want to start reading the Bible and I really want to start spending time with God. But I have this schedule that's so crazy and the kids have to go to soccer and the husband has to do this and so I have to do that and then I have to do this for work and I have to do this for the kids' school and I have this and this and this and that and that and that. So there's no way that I can spend time with God. What are we doing? We're shifting blame. Well, it's my schedule's fault that I'm not in an intimate relationship with God. We make our own schedule. We make time for what we want to make time for. When you were dating someone, you made time for them. You cleared a path. a wide schedule. You can't meet at 2, let's meet at 4. You can't meet at 4, we'll meet at 6. You can't meet at 6, well, there, you know, I can meet. People have time for what they want. We don't make bad choices and blame it on others. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads, that's overtaken you and lay hold on you, that's not common to man. That is, no temptation or trial has come to you beyond the human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to the human experience such as man can bear. But God is faithful to His Word and to His compassionate nature. And He can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried and assayed beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, He will always provide a way out, a means of escape, a landing place, that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. So, when we're tempted to get off track, when we're tempted to make a wrong decision, when we're tempted to focus on the wrong thoughts and dwell on the wrong thoughts, we have to realize that we don't have to take the bait. We don't have to give in to temptation. We don't have to make the wrong choice. We don't have to dwell on those thoughts when they come into our mind. Remember, we're taking every thought captive. We're holding it captive. We're like setting a bouncer in our head. This is out, and I will only think on those things that are good and lovely and just and of good report. I'm not going to think on things that are going to cause me to get off track from God's plan and His will for my life. So we're minding our mind. We're paying attention to what we're thinking about, because as a man thinks in his heart, the Word of God says, so is he. And so it's so important what we think. It's so important how we think. God has called us to mind our mind and pay attention to what we're thinking about. So how are we going to break the I can't help it mindset? Because that's another thing that a person who plays the victim a lot and gets inside their head and tries to shift blame onto everybody else, they just say, well, I can't help it. That's the way I am. It's just my nature to be like that. I can't come out of that sin. That's just what I do. That's how I roll. That's what happens. Let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. Do not let sin rule and reign as king in your mortal bodies, to make you yield to its cravings and be subject to its lust and evil passions. So Paul's writing to the Roman church, and he said, don't let sin rule in your body. Don't let sin have free reign. Don't just do whatever you think you want to do. There's a better way. Look at verse 13. Don't continue offering or yielding your bodily members to sin as instruments and tools of wickedness, but offer and yield yourself to God as though you have been raised from the dead to perpetual life, and your bodily members to God, presenting them as implements of righteousness. So Paul's telling us, don't continue to be an instrument of wickedness. Don't continue to operate in sin. And remember, when we sin, when we miss the mark, it all starts up here. Every single sin that we give into starts in our mind. Now, this isn't a sin, but let's think about it like this. I love cheesecake. Yes, it has cheese in it. We talk about cheese often. And there are some times where I just really want cheesecake. And I start thinking about cheesecake. And I start thinking about caramel syrup and hot fudge spread over this cheesecake with toasted praline pecans on top. And how good my homemade cheesecake is. But it takes 8 hours to make it. But it's so yummy. And then, you know, what it would taste like if I put it in my mouth. I just start wanting cheesecake. And then I start digging around the house to see if I have the things to make cheesecake. And if I don't, I line up my actions with my thoughts. I go to the store. I get 5 blocks of cream cheese. I go out to, or send Josh out to the coop and get some eggs, and then we start making cheesecake. Why? Because in my mind, it seemed so good. and so desirable. And then I thought about how much I wanted that cheesecake, and then it moved me to action. Now that's cheesecake, and believe me, cheesecake is not a sin. But let's translate it into everyday life. I start thinking about how much that person hurt me and what they did to me and how it's their fault that all this bad stuff has happened to me. And I start dwelling on, well, if they would have never done this, then I wouldn't be so screwed up. And it's all their fault. And why couldn't they just have left me alone? Why did they have to say that or do that to me? And we start dwelling on it and thinking on it. And then bitterness and hatred starts coming up in our heart. And then we start thinking that it's everybody else's fault for all the bad that happened to us because they hurt us. And if they hadn't hurt us, then I wouldn't be in the mess that I'm in right now. And that's not biblical. We make our own choices. We live with our own consequences. Sin starts right here. And if we can get control of this, then we can have a purposeful, God-filled life with joy and excitement and living to make God look good and abundant, overflowing, good life that God has called us to. It says, don't give your bodies to instruments of wickedness, but offer yourself to God. Yield yourself to Him. Yield your body to Him as an implement of righteousness. So we say, not my will, not with the way I want to think, not the thoughts that I want to think on, but I'm going to mind my mind. I'm going to think about what you want me to think about, God. I'm going to think about your word. I'm going to think about what you want me to do. I'm going to think about how I can help other people, how I can show your love, be your hands, be your feet, do good to those around me. I'm going to think about lining my life up with the word. I'm not going to think about all this mess that's happening over here, because this mess will just drag you down if you get in the middle of it. And this minding the mind, it's really about living a drama-free life. And God doesn't want us to have drama and contention and strife all the time. He wants us to be at peace. He said, my peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but that peace, that God kind of peace, that's what He wants for your life. And we're not going to get it if our mind is in turmoil about what everybody else has always done to us. Verse 14, for sin shall not any longer exert dominion over you. For you're not under the law as slaves, but under grace. You're subject to God's mercy and favor. So we have forgiveness of sin through the word of God. What are we to conclude? Shall we keep on sinning? Certainly not. Do you not know that if you continually surrender yourself to anyone to do his will, you are slaves of him whom you obey? Whether that be to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness, right standing, and being right with God. When I used to tell my parents about people that were frustrating me when I was a kid in high school, and I would come home and I'd be like, well, they just this and they just that, and no, and you know how we do sometimes. And then I'd say, you know what? I'm not going to go there because that person did something to me 10 years ago, and I don't want to see them. I can't believe what she said about me. You know, back in junior high, it was like, she said something about me in science, and I just don't want to see her anymore, so I'm not going to hang out with her. And my dad would look at me and say, you're not going because of a person? Because a person's going to be there? And I'd be like, yeah, because they're just so horrible, and they said all this, and they did this to me, and I just don't want to be around them. So you're going to let that person control you? And I would get all defensive. No, they're not controlling me. When we don't do things that we know to do is right because of another person, this verse of Scripture shows us that person is controlling our behavior. We see it with people and going to church. Well, I'm not going to go to church because there's all them hypocrites over there. And they're just horrible people. Again, we're looking for an excuse. And if you look for an excuse, you'll be able to find one. If you surrender yourself to anyone to do His will, you are slaves of whom you obey. If you change your actions based on other people's behavior, they are controlling you. We are not God controlled in that moment. We are people controlled. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be people controlled. I don't want to let other people dictate my life and how I live. I want my life to line up with God's word. I want to be worried about being controlled by one, and that's Him. I don't want to do things just because of the way other people will react. I want to do things because God has said them in His word. Don't be a slave to someone else by giving them all the responsibility of your life and letting them control your actions. When you look at it that way, it's kind of easy to break that victim mentality because we're like, I don't want to be controlled by them. But we are. We're slaves to whom we obey, whether it to be sin or whether it to be to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And that's what God is trying to get us to do. He's trying to get our mindset right so that our mind and our will and our emotions line up with Him and we get on a pathway to righteousness, right doing and right standing with God. Verse 17, but thank God, though you were once slave to sin, you've become obedient with all of your heart to the standard of teaching in which you were instructed and which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, you've become the servants of righteousness, conforming you to the divine will in thought and in purpose and in action. So God not only wants us to act like we have a relationship with Him, He wants us to think like we have a relationship with Him and not blame others for what we do. In the last bit of today, we're going to look at John chapter 5. And a man that Jesus encountered who had the opportunity to play the victim, who had the opportunity to be others controlled instead of God controlled. And we're going to see what Jesus told him. Look at John chapter 5. Later on, there was a Jewish festival, a feast, for which Jesus went to Jerusalem. And there was in Jerusalem a pool near the Sheep Gate. And this pool in the Hebrew is called Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great number of sick folk, some blind, some crippled, some paralyzed and shriveled up, waiting for the bubbling of the water. For an angel of the Lord went down at an appointed season into the pool and moved and stirred up the water. And whoever went in first after the stirring up of the water stepped in and was cured of whatever disease with which he was afflicted. So get this in a picture in your mind. Jesus went to Jerusalem for a feast. It was getting ready to be a feast day. And so he was in Jerusalem, and there was this big pool with these big five porches that surrounded it. And it was near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem. And so all these sick people, the blind people, the crippled people, paralyzed people, all these people who had all these sicknesses were just laid all around the pool, stretched out all around the five porches. Because in certain seasons, and angel came up and stirred the water, and whoever jumped into the pool first was immediately healed. So they're all laying around waiting for the water to bubble. Verse 5. There was a certain man there who suffered with deep-seated and lingering disorder for 38 years. So he had been sick a long time. 38 years, I hadn't even lived that long yet. That's a long time to be sick. And when Jesus noticed him laying there helpless, knowing that he had already been a long time in that condition, he said to him, "Do you want to become well? Are you really in earnest about getting well?" The invalid said, "Sir, I have nobody when the water is moving to put me in the pool. But while I'm trying to come into the pool myself, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your bed, and walk." Instantly, the man became well and recovered his strength, picked up his bed and walked. But it happened on the Sabbath. So the Jews kept saying to the man who had been healed, "It's the Sabbath. You have no right to pick up your bed. It's not lawful." And he answered them, "The man who healed me and gave me back my strength, he himself said to me, 'Pick up your bed and walk.'" And they asked him, "Who's the man who told you, 'Pick up your bed and walk?'" And the invalid who had been healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had quietly gone away since there was a crowd in the place. Afterward, when Jesus found him in the temple, he said to him, "See, you are well. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." And the man went away and told the Jews it was Jesus who had made him well. So let's take a look and break down this story and see how this man had been suffering from a victim mentality. The underlying factor in a victim mentality is an extreme level of human neediness. Look at Psalm 146, 3 through 8. "Put your trust not in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no help. When his breath leaves him and he returns to the earth, in that very day his previous thoughts, plans, and purposes perish. But happy, blessed, fortunate, enviable is the one who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps the truth and is faithful forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind, lifts up the head of those who are down. The Lord loves the uncompromisingly righteous." So, Psalm is telling us, don't put our trust in people. God doesn't want us to live needy, always needing another person's validation for us to be okay. He wants us to live only needing Him. Other people will not satisfy us. Even if we can get them to act right, other people won't satisfy us. The only thing that will truly satisfy us is God. So don't be an excessively needy person. We only need God. We don't need other people. It's nice to have people around. You know, I'm glad you're around. But at the end of the day, we only need God. And God believes in community and wants us to have community and fellowship with one another. But we don't rely on other people to be God to us. They don't provide for us. They don't take care of us. We don't worship their opinion and try to line our life up to their opinion. We don't need to let other people be God to us. We only need one God. And we only need to live to please Him. Victims are always waiting for a miracle because they see themselves in a possible situation. Look at verse 5. "A certain man who had suffered with a deep-seated lingering disorder for 38 years. So he felt like he was in an impossible situation. Victims are not looking for vengeance. They're consumed with a pity party, spending their years hopelessly complaining. So Jesus started talking to him and he said, "I don't have anybody to put me in the water. I could be healed if someone else would do something. I've been here for 38 years in this horrible condition and no one will help me." God doesn't want us to have these type of mindsets. Notice that the first question to be answered is if we really want help. Some people don't want help. Some people are happy to stay in their miserable situation, just living miserably for the rest of their life. Notice that Jesus asked him in verse 6, "Do you want to become well? Are you in earnest about getting well?" Jesus wanted to know, listen, are you just laying here trying to get sympathy? Or do you want something different in your life? And Jesus asked us the same question today. Are we just laying here in life trying to get somebody else to do something for us, or trying to get blame everybody else for why we are the way that we are? Or are we really earnest about getting well? Are we really earnest about moving forward in the things of God? Are we really earnest about living to make God look good and moving forward in our relationship with Him? Notice when Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be well?" he offered an excuse. "Nobody's here to put me in the water. If somebody would just shove me in the water when that angel came down, it would all be okay." Jesus is not looking for excuses. He's looking for obedience. And so he wanted to see with the man, are you going to live with your excuse, or are you going to obey? So Jesus looked at him and said, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And the man didn't have to do that. He could have just laid there and said, "Well, I can't walk." And you know what? He wouldn't have. But because he obeyed Jesus' commands, his life was forever changed in that moment. Because he realized that he could have something better. And it didn't matter if there was another single person standing around him, ready to help him stand up and walk. He realized in that moment that if he would simply obey the commands of God to get up, take up your bed and walk, that his life could be forever different. He could be forever changed. He could have a fresh start. He could have a new lease on life if he would simply obey the commands of God. And God is looking at us today in the mess that we've created for ourselves, because it's nobody else's fault of why we are the way that we are. We choose to be the way that we are. And God is looking at us today. Jesus is looking at you and I today. And he's like, are you ready for something different? Are you so tired of this stuff yet? Are you ready to come up higher to a new way of living, a new way of thinking? Are you ready to be different? Do you want something better for yourself? If you do, get up, take up your bed, and walk. You don't need anybody else to hold your hand while you're getting up. You can rise up for yourself, take up your bed, follow God's commands, live to make Him look good, and go forth and conquer in your life. But we must first be willing to get over the idea that it's everybody else's fault. Take responsibility for our own actions. Realize that we have messed up and made mistakes. Ask God to forgive us, and then get up and walk. Jesus has the power and desire to make you whole if you're willing to be whole. Get up. Take up your bed. Walk. Get up. Take up your bed. Walk. Don't stay stuck in this mess. If we live in a victim mentality, we will never go forward with God. Because there will always be someone who's holding us back. "Well, if I could just get my wife to pray with me, then, you know, I could go forward with God. I could be better. If I could just get them to keep being crazy, if my kids would just stop being crazy, then I could control my anger." We can control what we think about. Remember, we talked about a week or two ago, you cannot think on two things at once. It's impossible. So when thoughts of helplessness and hopelessness come into our heart, when we get ready, thoughts of shifting blame, well, it's their fault that I am the way that I am. When that mess, that junk starts coming into our mind, we need to simply replace it with the Word of God. Dad used to call it thought replacement therapy. Just simply replace the thought with the Word of God. I encourage you this week to make a list of mindsets in your life that you want to change. Because remember, we're talking about thinking the right things, minding our mind, thinking on the Word of God, not just letting our mind do its own thing and go crazy, because then our actions will go crazy. But purposefully thinking on what the Word of God says. So I encourage you this week, write down some mindsets that you want to change. Maybe it's something that we've talked about. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's stress and anger and bitterness and hatred. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's the victim mentality that we talked about today. Maybe it's a thought towards a coworker that you really can't stand. Or maybe it's something about your family that you really need to let go of and bury and just quit dragging up at every occasion. Whatever that thought is, whatever those things are that you need to get rid of in your life, make a list of them. And then look in the Scripture for the Word of God. Look for a Scripture that will help you to think in an opposite direction. And commit to memorizing that Scripture. If you have feelings of hatred towards your parents for things that they did to you when you were younger, you can either go to Exodus chapter 20 or Ephesians chapter 6, where it talks about honoring your father and your mother. And you can begin to pray that God would help you to honor your father and mother instead of have hatred for them, that you would love them. You can go to the Scriptures when Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 5, where he started talking about doing good to your enemies, blessing those that curse you. And you can start applying those Scriptures in your life. So when you start having those thoughts of hatred, having those thoughts of bitterness towards others for what they've done to you, then you say, you know what? I'm not going to think on this because I will bless my enemies. I will do good to those who despitefully use me. I will honor my parents. I will respect them. I will change. And you begin to think on the Word of God. And soon those thoughts of bitterness and hatred towards others will go. We've got to replace our thoughts with the Word of God. David said that he looked at the Word of God as his necessary bread. He told us to taste and see that the Lord is good. We need to dig into the Word of God and get that in our mind so that when all this mess happens in life, we're not controlled by the mess. We're only being Spirit-led. God is very concerned about what you think about. He's very concerned about what I think about. We need to remember, when dealing with this victim mentality, Ephesians 6:12, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our fight is not with people and what they have done to us. We don't have to be controlled by what people have done to us. We can be Spirit and Word controlled by the Spirit of God and His Word of God. We don't have to think like everybody else. It's okay to be a little weird. God has said, come out from the world and be separate. He told us in Romans 12, 2, don't be conformed to this world and this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even that thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. God doesn't want us to be conformed to the world, to do what everybody else is doing. Well, it's just easy to blame other people. Everybody else blames other people. Why can't I blame other people? Because God has called us to something better. He's called us to think differently than the world. Come out from the world. Don't be conformed to them, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind. We must get a new mindset, and the only way it's going to happen is if we mind our mind and we think on purpose instead of just letting every thought that comes through have its way in our mind. We must begin to think on purpose. So Jesus is looking at us this morning and saying, are you earnest about being better? Do you want something different from your life, for your life? If you do, get up, take up your bed, and walk. Don't lay down and play the victim. Don't lay down and get stuck in thinking that everybody else controls what you do. They don't. You control what you do, and let it be in line with the Word of God. Take up your bed and walk. Move away from a victim mentality. Let's stand. God, we thank You for the opportunity to come here today and worship You. Thank you for joining us today. We would love to hear from you. You can write to us at Post Office Box 1004. That's P.O. Box 1004, Monticello, Arkansas, 71657. Or you can email us at lci.monticello@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. You can also check out our website. It's www.getlife.co. That's www.getlife.co. There you can find Pastor Kelly and Pastor Josh's sermon notes, and you can see what's going on all through the week at Life Church. We would love to have you in one of our services with us. Join us Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for a worship service. Pastor Kelly ministers, and it's a great time in the presence of God. Or you can join us for Digging Deep on Tuesday nights at 6:30 p.m. Pastor Josh digs into the Word of God, connecting the Old Testament with the New Testament and giving us a fresh biblical perspective from God's point of view. We hope that you have a great week this week. Remember, go live to make God look good. God bless you till we're with you again.